too long ago it used to be the case where you had a new baby that, you know, all you needed was a pram or a cot or a few baby grows and you were sort of good to go, I suppose. Nowadays, babies are big business. But what's happening is new parents are being bombarded with the message that if they don't have the latest or the fanciest and most up-to-date contraptions for a baby, then they're terrible mums and dads. Their baby's happiness and safety is at stake and everybody's going to look at them like they're the worst parents in the entire world. Well, psychotherapist Stella O'Malley has noticed just how much new parents' fears are being exploited and how this form of keeping up with the Joneses is making parents feel guilty or anxious or worse still, feel the need to be part with the, you know, every penny they have in their pocket, unnecessarily, of course. So Stella is here with us now and I want to just take a look at this and is this really the way it is, because I haven't been one of these for not that long, but you know, it was never that bad, I think, maybe 10 years ago. First time parents in particular, they're very prone to this problem, aren't they? Because of course, you know, they want to be the best mummy and daddy in the world, therefore yeah. They are not so much willing victims or just perfect prey.
Yeah, well, that's what's not fair, because when you're a first-time parent, you're trying to do the best that you can for the baby that's on the way, and you don't actually know better. So they're actually, it's incredibly cynical to exploit people who are just trying to be good and trying to be safe. And basically, as soon as they use the word health and safety, the game is over for any expectant mother or father, and they just hand over their wallet. And that would be fine, except they're making huge money out of this, just cynically, literally exploiting fears.
Okay, the health and safety thing is right across the board, isn't it? I mean, it's we've gone so PC or whatever the word is, gone completely
crazy,
over the top. And like, all you need is one person to injure one part of their body or whatever, and the whole brigade comes down on top of you saying, well, we should have had this on. And now we do have it everywhere. There's so many things people can't do. In terms of the health and safety with the kids and that, you've seen that one as well, not just...
Yeah, like, as I said in the article that, you know, let's say you go shopping for a mattress for your cot, for the baby, and nowadays you can't use... An awful lot of people hand on, let's say, buggies and cots to people who are having babies, like secondhand, and that's a lovely thing that's going on. But the marketing people have kind of got in on that, saying, well, you can't use a... Basically, they recommend you don't use a secondhand mattress because it might have more likely cot death, which is a bit of a leap on a lot of levels. Like, there's an awful lot of reasons for cot death and an awful lot of kind of don't do this, don't
do
that.
In your research, have you come across people who genuinely were kind of offered this as a reason not to buy the cheap ones?
Well, the way they would say it, and 100% have I come across it, absolutely, but the way that it would be said is, well, you could have this mattress or else you could have the recommended by SIDS.
So in other words, you could have this mattress and have your baby die of a cot death, or...
without a doubt. But if you went into any baby store in the world right now, you'd see cot mattresses, which would be lovely, and there's nothing wrong with them, or you'd see specially recommended. And once it's specially recommended, you tend to go for it because you're trying to be... You're so excited, your new baby's coming, and you're tending to go for that one. And so on, but without a doubt, yeah. And I don't, I get where the sudden infant death is, why they would be recommending it. It probably has some special ingredient in the mattress that would be much safer. Off they go. But it just seems unfortunate that on every level, it's not just mattresses, it's everything, that parents' pockets are being picked.
Right, and like, well, just to get back to it again, we're talking the minute they walk into the shop, and we'll just say it's a day, we'll say it's a couple, we're talking people behind the counter who know exactly that these are the most willing victims imaginable.
And I would say it's a lot more sinister than that, because the people behind the counter are usually on a lot of levels on our side. They just want to make a sale, but they're on our side. We're new parents. But it's the, like, 28-year-old marketing man in an office who's kind of giggling away to himself, thinking, yeah, let's put these safety features on this extraordinary book. And once we have safety features, the sales will fly up. On a buggy, like, what is a buggy going to do? Do you know what I mean?
All right, look,
it's not a rocket.
Like, it's no less unsafe for new babies and toddlers these days than it was when we were babies ourselves, right?
Yeah, well, okay. It's probably a lot safer nowadays.
Well, is it a lot safer because of this 28-year-old guy in the office?
No, it's a lot safer because we have a much more of awareness on an awful lot of levels. Knowledge has gone way up, but with that, an awful lot of marketing. Like, marketing really wasn't, when I was a kid, it was a fairly basic scenario. Now marketing is a very highly developed concept, and it's become very, very cynical.
I just thinking, any idea when, like, I'm not wanting to go back to having anybody under the age of two not strapped in the back of a car.
Yeah.
But there was surely a time when there were cars and there was not strapped inness going on. In other words, there weren't any proper baby seats and there weren't any proper...
And unfortunately, if you look at the road deaths in the 70s, let's say in Ireland, they were astronomical. Like off the top of my head, right, there were like 680 or something like that on average per year. And now they're way, way, way down on that. So yeah, we've saved an awful lot of deaths. I'm pro seatbelts, car,
of course,
like, I'm not ridiculous, but it's just when it gets cynical.
Okay, so, but like the point is that there's so much common sense here, there's so much that is right, and the 28-year-old guy, I'm going to keep talking about that guy, that, like, you know, he's 100% correct in so many ways. It doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't being exploited and totally ripped off. They are.
What they are. Like, even if you look at it in terms of educating babies, there's a huge amount of exploitation with that. Like, they had the baby, I don't know, do you remember the baby Einstein DVDs and stuff like that, and the baby Mozart and stuff like that?
No.
They had. Did you not hear about them? They were a huge thing that came out in America in kind of early 2000s. And then in the end,
what are they?
Basically, if you play Baby Einstein, your kid will be more intelligent.
Oh, it's a DVD or something?
Yeah,
okay.
And the Baby Mozart, every single new parent in the state of Georgia was given a Baby Mozart DVD as their going home package from the hospital. And then there was a big, huge recall because it was proved that they didn't actually expand.
It was proved.
Yeah.
So somebody else did a study.
It was
fantastic.
No, and then in the end, it just was proved basically for 20 minutes your child will be a bit brighter. Do you follow me?
All that stuff really gets me. Like, when people buy a Christmas present, they go, yeah, and it's very educational. Well, that's a minus point as far as I'm concerned. I don't want the toy to be educational. What's wrong with fun being educational, you fool? Sorry, all that kind of stuff. Oh, look, he's really learning.
It's sick, actually. Because every single moment of the day is suddenly either going to be developing or educating. And it's actually worse than yawn. It's very bad for the kids because the kids are feeling like they're very functional. If I'm not doing something that's worth it, I shouldn't be doing it at all.
Exactly. And I see ads for Christmas toys in December, and a lot of them use the word educational like it's an absolute must, or at least a total plus point, never occurring to anybody who's doing it that there's somebody out there, me, looking at it saying it's a minus point.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Okay.
Or now, creative is the other word.
For God's sake.
Everything's creative.
Break. Okay, look, these kind of messages are everywhere. By the way, some people will be given out to me, so 51552 is the text. These kind of messages are everywhere. Like, it's not just in the baby shop. It's coming from the media, from the people around us. It's pretty hectic enough, you know, dealing with new baby without all the extra pressure. Is it turning parenthood into some kind of competition?
It is, without a doubt. And it's making an awful lot, a huge amount, because I work as a psychotherapist, a huge amount of mothers and fathers incredibly anxious, and they feel like they're failing. And it's not, you know, while it's kind of funny talking to you, it's actually horrible what they're going through, because they think, I'm not good enough, I'm not educating my kid, I'm not doing flashcards with my kid, I'm not good enough.
Sorry, go back on that. Are people doing flashcards with their kids? Are they kind of like they do a PowerPoint
presentation, and
they'll be asking questions later?
They are.
They feel
they're failing if they're not. And it's very weird, because I suppose the parents are all looking at each other slightly anxiously, because only one parent in the baby toddler group says, oh yeah, I got, you know, he's reading quick little words. And everybody else kind of looks slightly horror-struck. And one part of you thinks, that's ridiculous, why are you doing that? And another part thinks, should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Because we're all heightened to an extraordinary extreme about this.
Or he can read Dostoevsky at the name of three or something like this, you know, and my only reaction to that is, cheaper socially, he'll be ruined by 15. Okay, the queue of cars outside schools when it rains with parents who don't want their kids getting wet. It's just a bit of water. They're not going to get pneumonia. That's a 515-52 text there. And
She's dead right. When I think about it, probably the nicest time in my life was walking to school and walking home, insofar as I had to go through a couple of woods and it was a very much my own time exploring. Yeah. And now nobody is walking to school. Everybody's getting ferried here, there and everywhere. And they think it's safer, and actually technically it's not safer. You'd be a lot less safe at the back of a car than walking to school.
I'd be guilty of that a little bit myself. Having said that, if you think I'm going to start walking along and meeting neighbours at 8:30 in the morning, then forget it. That's the reason I'm doing it. It's nothing to do with the kid. If you're buying a car seat, the amazing guilt put on you if you don't buy the most expensive one is stunning. You're basically endangering them, says Kim and me. So
she's dead right.
Yeah.
And that's horrendous.
Kim or he, I don't know. Yeah.
That's horrendous. And it's the very same as what we were talking about. Everything to do with, like, when they were talking to me and I bought an extraordinary buggy, very expensive, the safety gadgets on the buggy, and I was just kind of going, what are they on about? What? what is there? What is unsafe, really, about a boogie? No. Do you know what I mean?
No, I remember just trying to get the damn... worst thing of all was is the car seats in the back. Just trying to get the damn thing closed.
They're incredibly complicated.
And they got more complicated as we went on, because the bigger, the better, the whatever, the more safe or whatever.
It's more safe, more expensive.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Hated it all. Okay, children are actually pretty simple creatures, though, aren't they? I mean, they haven't really changed much down through the years. They don't need an awful lot of this stuff to thrive and be healthy and be happy. And I know you're going to even go and say, no, they actually need less.
Yeah, a lot less. Like, they've got a new thing I think that's put me over the edge was when Thudgard came out, which is a helmet you put on kids.
I know none of this stuff.
Your head would spin.
Thudgard.
A helmet for kids.
In case your head falls on the ground by the thud, is that
You know when a kid is learning, a baby is learning to walk, and they bang their heads a lot. If you went on the website, you'd be scared. You'd read it. Suddenly, like, there's 218,000 head injuries for toddlers in the UK every year. And you just go, oh, my God, is there? Oh, my God. Because it's so scary. There's paediatricians commenting and psychotherapists commenting, all recommending the helmet to put on your kid as he walks around the house. This isn't a cycle. This isn't to go on skates. This is for a 1.5-year-old to walk around the house and to wear a helmet.
The parents themselves, they are taken in very easily because they're kind of, you know, they're easy prey, almost willing victims and that. One of the things about parents is that when a kid comes along, they haven't got a clue what to do. Most parents haven't got a clue, but it just evolves pretty much without the 28-year-old guy.
And it's a very noble and natural desire to want to do best for your kid and to want to develop your kid so that he'll have his place in the world. It is a lovely desire, but because there's so much money basically being concentrated on let's pick these parents' pockets, we're being made fools of. We're not fools, but they're conning us.
They anticipate their way ahead. They capitalise on every smidgen of guilt that a parent might harbour, etc. But in the article that you wrote, you said that your husband decided not to buy a stairgate for your house when your children...
Controversial.
It is kind of controversial. So the children were toddling around. You don't buy a stairgate. Now, do you have a stairs, yeah?
We do have a stairs.
Okay, you don't have a stairgate at the end of it.
We didn't have a stair. They're a little bit older now.
Okay, when they were of the age of being capable of getting down the stairs or whatever, or falling down the stairs or whatever it happens to be, you decided not to have a stair gate.
We did.
Get up there.
We put a lot of effort into teaching them how to go down on their bum on the stairs, and we kind of made a big deal around it. I suppose very much on the basis that in case you let the stair gate open... Do you follow me? And they won't know how to handle the stairs. We are both kind of fairly absent-minded. Right. And also that you're trying to teach your kid to get on in the world. You're trying to teach your kid to walk, to talk, to whatever. And so I didn't grow up on a stairgate.
No, there definitely wasn't a stairgate. No, there were brothers and sisters to kick you back up.
And put a fluffy carpet at the bottom of the stairs.
So
we're very safe, really.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. The stairgate thing then is the funny one in terms of, like, first of all, maybe I've done it completely wrong. You teach them to go down on their bums.
Yeah.
Or you taught them to go on their bums at whatever age that was. What age was that?
When they were starting to learn to walk.
Okay, because I let mine go down a different way completely. It's like go down, spread out completely and go down on their belly, on their bellies kind of, and on their face, and they go... Then they're at the bottom in about 5 seconds.
A new technique.
They loved it. They're grateful.
And did you have a stairgate?
I think we probably did for a while. I can't remember, actually. I think, did we? I can't remember. I should remember that.
Yeah.
But like, they used to just flubber all the way down the stairs with their face on the carpet or whatever it was, you know?
No. Yeah, well, we did manage without a stairgate. There was no accidents. And I do know that by me kind of writing this article and being here, I'm going out on a limb, because what if something happens to my children today? Suddenly, she's the one who didn't have the stairgate.
This is the whole thing. Yeah. This is where the 28-year-old, the health and safety people say, you see, I told you
so. He's got me in a bind.
Yeah, you can always point, you know, to whatever. I have baby twins. By the way, 51552 is the text. And we are taking a look at this in terms of the exploitation of new parents by people who are in business or something along those lines. Stella O'Malley is who we're talking to, and this one here says that I have baby twins and I was asked by a first time parent what classes we were doing. Apparently we should do baby massage and baby yoga. My 9-year-old must be horrifically underdeveloped. He never did any baby classes.
Yeah,
I'm horrifically underdeveloped as well. My 3 children are growing up on a farm and they are never inside and never clean. They are also never sick. My oldest is 9, hasn't been to the doctor since he was a baby.
Well done to that parent, but to be honest, it's very hard to withstand as the first texter put it, it's very hard to withstand the pressure of, so what are you doing? What extracurricular activities are you bringing your child to? And why wouldn't you? Do you follow me? Is the kind of unwritten statement, like, do you not care enough? Because the big thing, I suppose, these days is everybody's trying to give their kid an edge, because we're all terrified that it's such a competitive world out there, everybody has to have an edge.
God, I failed again. I never try to give my kids an edge. I'm much more interested in myself.
I'm sure they're very edgy.
Thank you so much, says this one here. So somebody is thanking you so much. My son is 12 and the only child nearly who walks 1 kilometre to school. He got wet one day and the school made me feel really bad. The school should have been warm enough to dry him. He was still wet when he came out. Is that my fault? No, it's the school's. I can't afford the bus.
Good. Well, well done to send the child to school. Don't forget, the big huge problem these days is obesity. You know, it's crazy, all these kids.
But that doesn't mean there aren't other problems. I mean, for instance, it would be better that the child was not sitting in total wet clothes but for 3 hours in the morning, or does it? I mean, I've no idea.
Presumably the kid had a coat on, you know what I mean? But yeah, I suppose we did sit in wet clothes, but in my memory, they did dry as well, because the weather was the same 30, 40 years ago as it is now.
Yeah,
but they're not walking to school. And they are, it's not as if this is something kind of, nothing. It's a big, big deal. The fact is, they aren't getting enough exercise, they aren't getting enough free time, they're not getting enough time on their own, and they're not learning to develop good friendships with other people, because the only time they get to play with each other is under structured supervised activity.
Play date!
Yes! Which is not the same. You don't get to get good mates, and it gets a bit weirder as life goes on, because if you didn't have good mates at 8 and 10, how are you going to make them so easily later on? Does get a bit weird and sinister.
All right, is it true that you can buy these helmets then? Can you get these ones? Are these thud?
Oh, they're for real.
If
you go on the website, you would nearly be scared into buying one for your toddler if you went on that website.
Did you ever do it yourself?
What, buy a thud guard? No.
She
I was bad,
shocked.
But no, I wasn't.
Okay, what other products exist for new parents that you might see to be completely over the top?
Well, the extreme baby tracking monitor seems to me to be a bit over the top. The baby monitor, I get. Do you follow me? You're going out in the garden, the baby's having a nap. I get that. But now the baby monitors are registering your oxygen levels, how many times the baby is moving, it's videoing the baby, it's checking their blood, it's checking their temperature, it's checking everything. And it's an app that goes onto your phone to give you regular updates. And like, that's supposed to put your mind at ease, but it doesn't put your mind at ease. What it constantly does is make your mind fretful of what could be happening. Do you know what I mean? It's not doing what it's like the paperless office and the way the mobile was going to make us all work less. It's the opposite. It's making us fret more and worry more. So I'd have a big problem with that.
And how much would one of those ones cost?
About €200.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people go off to the big, you know, baby store. They go off to, you know, we're going off to do the shopping, to get the buggy, to get the... And they spend a fortune.
Yeah.
A serious fortune.
Like a lot of Saturday afternoons, it used to be, let's go and look at houses, and now it's let's go to all the baby shops, and spend time there and spend loads of money there as well, I suppose,
It's the same pyramid scheme.
So you're talking about leg measuring things and heart rates and blood oxygen levels and skin temperatures and all those sort of things. You can measure all those.
Yeah. Needlessly.
Okay, so what would you have got? What would you have bought? What would you think is a good thing? What is out there now that's new that looks like it might be exploiting new parents but actually spot on?
Well, I don't know if it's new. Well, obviously the car seat is imperative, and the cot and the I think the monitor is great, but I just think the extreme versions of everything is what I've a problem with, and the expensives. And I suppose if I was to go back again, you'd buy the ordinary mattress. I particularly would buy the ordinary mattress. And so many people have contacted me about the mattress thinking, was that me? Was that me in your article? Because I had said something about people going off to buy these specially recommended. Everybody buys the specially recommended mattress. And I kind of wonder about that. So I feel a bit nervous saying that because I'm not a scientist and I don't know. But it seems two mattresses in a cot, they're both brand new, they're both presumably gone through standard quality assurance. So I presume that.
But as a psychotherapist, have you seen a lot of people come to you just freaking out about should I?
I've seen two things. I've seen an awful lot, and it's horrible. An awful lot of mothers feel like they're failing and fathers feel like they're failing. They're not being good enough. They're not, for instance, let's say they're bringing one child to GAA and one child to ballet and another child to dance or whatever, or to music, and they're frazzled. they have no time to themselves and they're completely frazzled and they're trying to get the homework in and they have to read every single day because from the age of five we have to read every single day with the child. And like Rory Quinn kind of added to it a couple of years ago in the Dáil, he said a child not read to at bedtime is child is a child abused. Like this is true. And this is extraordinary. The pressure. And what happens is they come to me and they just feel like, not, oh, the pressure's horrendous and it's awful and we have to fight back, but I'm a failure and I'm not good enough. And that's a horrible place to be.
It's a horrible place to be indeed. Stella O'Malley, thanks a million for dropping into us on the programme this morning. And 51552, thanks for all the texts and all that as well. Now, let's...